Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 13 lines from the top. We have a bow tie marking. We introduced this in our previous shiur. This introduces a new idea. Truth be told, though, that in this particular case, it's presented as the opening of a discussion, but it's a reference at the same time to that which we learned at the end of our previous shiur. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Echod Meho Achin, one of the brothers. We're talking about surviving brothers. Shebo Al Hatzora Achrei She'ach Echod Kiyem Yibum. So we'll have a situation where we have an illustration also, a little chart or illustration on the side. We have Reish, Shin, and Lamed. Those are Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to two women. We call them Isha number one and Isha number two. And Shimon died. Reuven died, leaving no children. Hence, Shimon and Levi are the Yevomim. Shimon, as you can see, does Yibum with Isha number one, and Levi has relations with the Tzora, with Isha number two. This ties into the elaborate discussion that we had in our previous sukkah with the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. After the mitzvah of Yibum is done with one lady, what is the status of the Tzora with regard to the other brothers? So we saw, according to Rabbi Yochanan, her status is one of a lav nature, a negative command. And according to Reish Lakish, she is not just prohibited on a negative command level, but she carries, intimacy with her, carries with it a penalty of kores. After the mitzvah of Yibum is accomplished with one of the widows, the other widows, according to Reish Lakish, take on their original identity as being Eishes Ach, the wife of a brother. And wife of brother is one of the severe forms of arayas that are in the Torah. So now we look at the Gemara. Itmar habo al yivoma. We saw on our chart, Shimon did yibum with one of the widows. Ubo echo mino achim al tzorasa. And one of the surviving brothers, in our chart we limited just to one other brother, namely Levi, had relations then with the co-wife of Reuven. Pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina. We have a machlokes. What is the level of offense committed by Levi in having relations with the co-wife of the Yevama? Chad Omar v'Kores. One says that he's guilty of Kores. V'chad Omar v'Asei. The other one says he's in violation of a mitzvah Asei, which we'll see in a moment a little bit more about that. Mandamar Bekores, the opinion that says that Levi's relation with the Tzora is Kores worthy, or punishable by Kores, that is in accordance with Reish Lakish. That other than the actual Mitzvah Yibum is concerned, all the other co-wives and all the other remaining brothers are considered forbidden at the Kores level, all being guilty of Eishes Ach, Shaloba Mokum Mitzvah. Umandom Rabasei, Kreb Yochanan. The opinion that says that there is a violation of a positive command, that is in accordance with Reb Yochanan, who says that once the Mitzvah Yibum is done, it is really a form of Shlichus that the one brother does on behalf of all the rest, and the woman does on behalf of all the co-wives. So that there's no kores to speak about. As far as what is the mitzvah saseh that was just referred to, So the Rashi explains Be'asei Bayis Echod Hu Boneh V'ein Boneh Shnei Botim. The Rashi is based on the Pasuk that speaks about the Yavam establishing the house of the deceased brother, establishing his name, his house, trying to bear children, the first child carrying the name, so to speak, of the deceased brother. So the Drosh's Chazal is that one house is built, that is what the Torah expects, but not two houses. And two houses mean the two wives. So there's a principle, as Rashi says, that a negative command that is rooted in a positive command, the positive command being build the house of the deceased, marry his widow, and which implies, but not his other widow. One widow, yes, not two. That's a negative command rooted in a positive command, and it has the status of violation of an asei. We continue in the Gemara. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new idea. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav. Tsoras Soito Asura. The co-wife of a man who has two wives, and one of them behaved immorally, had intimacy with another man. So you have a situation of a married woman having intimacy with another man in the presence of two witnesses. So the co-wife is, according to Rav, Asura. She is forbidden in the event of this the husband's death, leaving these two women, we'll call one the immoral woman, the other one the co-wife. Asura means the co-wife is forbidden, and there's no need even for chalitza. She's forbidden as far as the mitzvah of yibum is concerned. There is no yibum, and you don't even need chalitza to release her. She's automatically released to marry anyone else she wants. My time, what is the basis of Rav's teaching? Tuma ksiv bo ka'arayas. Tuma is the word the Torah uses to describe the act of immorality, and that word is found also in the context of the other arayas. So, and Rashi quotes the relevant psukim. In the case of Sota, the pasuk says v'nistura v'hi nitma'a. In the case of arayas, it says al tatamu b'chol eile. So the word tuma appears in both contexts, regarding the sota, the woman who conducted herself immorally, and the other forbidden relatives or women. If the case needs any further elucidation, we do have a little chart on the side that we call Tzara Sota. You can see Reuven is married to two women. The squiggle line in Gemara markings charts attempts to illustrate a marital bond. So Reuven is married to a woman that is described as Zinta, Znus, which is a Sota, and a co-wife, a Tzara. And our interest is knowing what is the relationship between Shimon and Tzara, the Shin in the diamond and the circled woman Tzara. And Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, says that Shimon has nothing to do, not even chalitza, with the Tzara. As the Gemara continues, you can see a new marking. We have a triangle, and you'll see as we go on in the Gemara, the triangle appears in alternating directions. With the on the side under our Mivneh heading, we refer to this triangle as a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back-and-forth discussion. With the point facing up, these are Kushyos al Rav, and the inverted triangle, Tshuvos, are responses. Mosiv Rav Chista. Rav Chista raises an objection to Rav's teaching from the following case that is alluded to in this framed section. So before we learn the Gemara in the frame, the Tanaic source that's quoted, there's a little bit of a story that serves as its background, and that's we have in chart form, where you see the triple star note. In this diagram, we see Reuven and Shimon. You notice the Reish, that's a reference to Reuven, and he has a brother, Shimon. And Reuven goes abroad. We have on the chart, Holach l'medinas yam, v'ishto nisol li'acher. So stage one is Reuven, who is married to this woman, he goes abroad. And stage two, we see the woman, the Isha, who's encircled, marrying, we call Mr. Two, or Ish. And then the husband, Reuven, returns. So you have, in effect, the woman was a married woman having intimacy with another man. She thought that her husband was dead. That's the news she heard. And that's what motivated her to marry the second man. However, the original fellow, in this case, Reuven, comes back. And he eventually dies, leaving no children. What is the Yibum expectation with regard to Shimon? Reuven's wife, who was basically a married woman engaging in intimacy with another man, is what we see here. In that sense, this case is very similar to the case before where we spoke about the Tzoras Sota. So we continue in the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Chisda, Rav Shimon Oimer, Biasa o Chalitzasa me'echov shel Rishon poteres Tzorasa. So Rav Shimon is referring to the very situation we tried to describe, where at the point that Reuven dies, he leaves two women. He leaves his the Isha and the Tzora. Rav Shimon says that if Shimon does something with the woman herself, that's poteres sorasa. So that in this source you see a yavam dealing with the woman who behaved questionably, we'll say. And it's also worth emphasizing, he says that may ochiv shomrishon, that means that's a reference to Shimon in our chart. What do we see from here, though? We see that a woman who was married and had relations with another man, the tzora is still in the yibum picture, we'll say, as it says that she, the tzora, is released through the bior chalitza with the woman herself. But one thing is very clear here, that the tzora is mutter to the yavam. If we take a look at the Rashi, he provides the background. And we're looking at Rashi, Dibur Masl Bi'oso Chalitzasa. It's a few lines under the Gemara itself. Rashi says, Bi'oso Chalitzasa, Ha'isha Shalach Ba'i L'minas Hayam, Ubo V'omru Lo Meis Balech, woman whose husband went abroad, she was informed her husband's dead. V'nisei, she married someone else. V'achakach Bo Ba'ilo, then the original husband, in our case, we're calling him Reuven, came back. Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, so the woman must leave both men. Mesu echov shel ze veechov shel ze. If that is mesu, when these men die, then we say echov shel ze veechov shel ze cholsin velo miyavnim. That's the opinion of the Tanakama, the first opinion. Now we want to focus on this Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now Rabbi Shimon, who was quoted in our Gemara, be also chalitzasa meechov shel rishon poteres he lechadchila es tzorasa. Rav Shimon says that the brother of the first one, in our case Shimon, the bia, the intimacy, or chalitza, the shoe removal, releases the tzora completely. Poteres hi lechatchila es tzorasa shorehi kishar noshim legabi yavam. The lo konsur abonon mi yavam devadei shari alei shanusa haisa. Shesvura Shemes, the woman, when she married the second man, was doing so without any, vindictive or illegal intentions. So she's considered like an anusa. Anusa is a rape victim, a woman who was under duress. What we see from here is that nivalot tachas ba'al shayot soros aliyavim. When a married woman had relations with another man under these kind of circumstances, so the co-wife is allowed. Even the Rabbonan who disagree with Reb Shimon, they refer to the woman herself. Aval b'tzorasa modu. With regard to the tzora, they concede that the tzora is allowed to the yavam. So we're describing in simple terms the tzora of a sota, and she is allowed to do yibum. What did Rav say about that? Rav said, Sora Sota Zasura. The Gemara answers, Omar Loch Rav. Rav will answer, Amino Loch Ano. I spoke to you about Sota Doraisa. That's the case of a woman who definitely conducted intimacy with vindictive or with illegal intentions, with premeditated intentions. And the Torah declares her to be a forbidden woman. She's forbidden to her husband. A married woman who behaves knowingly with immoral intentions while married, she is then forbidden to her husband. That's a soita d'oraisa, soita from on a Torah level. V'yad amrisli soita d'rabbanan. And you, Rav Chisda, in asking on Rav's Shita, are quoting a different case, a case that is classified as a sota only on a rabbinic level. In other words, the woman whose husband went abroad, she thought that her husband was actually dead. So like, why shouldn't she marry another man? So her being with the second man on a Torah level is quite all right. She didn't do so with evil intention. She was misled, if you will. She's called an anusa, and a married woman who, as a result of circumstances that were totally unintentional on her part, and as a result she's with another man, that doesn't aser her, that doesn't forbid her from her husband. So therefore there's a great deal of leniency and validity in their marital bond, and therefore when her husband dies, so there's certainly nothing wrong with her, with the co-wife, according to all opinions, entering either the Yibum or Chalitza relationship. This answer is so clear. This Rav's answer is or distinction, we should say, is so clear, you wonder what Rav Chisda, who asked the question, was even thinking when at the time he asked the question. And that's what the Gemara deals with in the brackets. The brackets indicate simply an isolation of a Havamina analysis. After the brackets, we go back to our questions on Rav with Mosiv Rav Ashi. But that having been said, we read the bracketed section, Udakori Law Mai Kori Law. In light of the distinction that we just made between Sota Deraisa versus Sota Derabbanan, the Kori Lo Mai Kori Lo means the questioner, namely Rav Chisda, what did he even have in mind in trying to attack Rav's halacha from that very different source and very different circumstance? Answer, Kosova called the Tikkun Rabbanan came Deraisa Tikkun. Rav Chisda figured that I understand and I know that the source that he quoted with Rav Shimon was an issue of a rabbinic level. But generally speaking, when the rabbis formulate halachas, they formulate them and pattern them after pre-established Torah standards. So you would then say that what you see on the rabbinic level is a reflection of what would be on the Doraisa level. So if on the rabbinic level the co-wife is allowed, so on the Doraisa level where there's actual immorality, the co-wife should not have been prevented from Yibum or Chalitza. That was Rav Chisda's intention. However, as far as Rav is concerned, here we don't say that the rabbinic law patterns the Torah law, but rather that is the very distinction. On the rabbinic level, we are lenient and allow Yibum with the Tzara, but in the case of a Torah level immoral violation of morality, we would not allow the co-wife of the immoral woman to do Yibum or Chalitza. Mosiv Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi raises a question, a challenge to Rav from a case of Sota. Nichnasa imo l'seisir v'shasa imoi kidei tuma. A married woman who goes with another man in seclusion, l'seisir, in privacy or seclusion, and tarries there enough time to actually consummate intimacy. That's shasa, she tarries imo kidei tuma, enough time. Here it's an issue of time, enough time for an act of intimacy. Asura lebeisa v'asura lechol betruma. She is forbidden to her husband. This, of course, Rashi points out, is coming on the heels of the husband having warned her not to be in private with this man. And she did. She violated the warning. She was in private. And when we say private, we're not speaking in euphemistic terms. And literally, she was in private with him. What she did there, we don't know. But we know she was in private with him, a married woman, in private, enough time to commit actual intimacy. The halacha is asur lebeisa. She is forbidden to her home, meaning she cannot be with her husband. The asur lechol betruma. And if her husband was a kohen, so she's not allowed to eat truma, the tithe given to Kohanim, the mace, and if the husband dies, and here we dashed on the line the key word, it's choletzes, the lo misyabemes. There is chalitza, there's no yibum, but there is chalitza. So we see here a case of sota, and upon the death of the husband of the questionable woman, the brother does do chalitza. Now, what did Rav say about the sota? Rav spoke even about the co-wife of the sota, all the more so the sota herself, nothing would be done. Here we see chalitza is done. That's the kasha on Rav. We continue on the top of Amit Beis, Omar Loch Rav. Rav responds, Amino Loch Ano Sota Vadai. I was describing a married woman who unquestionably, undeniably, with certainty, committed an act of intimacy with another man. That's sota vadai. V'amrisli at, and you are quoting as a kasha, as a challenge to me, sota sofek, a woman who went into seclusion, but we don't know what she did. That's called sota sofek. We don't know. We're in doubt as to, did she actually commit intimacy in that seclusion or not? We don't know. So in a case like that, where it's a matter of doubt whether she behaved immorally, true, it was wrong for it to go into seclusion. But as far as an actual act of intimacy, we don't know if you have a case here of a married woman conducting intimacy. Therefore, upon her husband's death and no children, so chalitza is expected. However, in the case where a woman undeniably conducted herself, a married woman, of course, will conduct herself immorally with another man, she's totally forbidden to her husband. And upon the husband's death, so there is no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza whatsoever. And that is what Rav was speaking about. Question. Notice we have a long question. Umay shno soita vadai. What is different about the sota vadai that you, Rav, are making this distinction? Because the word tuma appears, as we pointed out earlier, and that word is found by Arias as well. And we know in the case of an erva falling liyibum, so there's total exemption. If that's the reason for the exemption, sota safek dami tuma ksiva ba, regarding the case of safek, doubtful immorality, where maybe immorality was committed or not, the word tuma appears there as well. Desanya. Now we have a Tanaic source, really at the end of the source will be the main point as far as matters of Sota are concerned. The source features the opinions of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur and later the Chachomim. Their names are double underlined. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Hamachzir Grishosim in Nesuim Asura in Eris and Muteris. A man divorced his wife. That's a grusha. Under simple circumstances where a man divorces his wife, he's allowed, it's even considered a mitzvah, unless he's a kohen, it's a mitzvah to remarry her, to take her back. However, if after divorcing her, the woman marries another man, so then it's forbidden for the first husband to take her back. That's as far as halacha is concerned, based on the pasuk in Dvarim, Perek, Chav Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. We have it written on the side of the Gemara. So where a man divorced his wife and she married someone else, so the first husband cannot take her back. How far into the relationship did the woman who was divorced enter with regard to the second man? There are two levels of legal marital status. One is Erusin, or sometimes called Kiddushin. That's where a man offers money or money equivalent or other means without getting into details and establishes a marital bond, but they haven't consummated their marriage until they are actually under the same canopy together or have intimate or conjugal relations. That is called the consummation and also referred to by the term nisuin. So the restriction that we just mentioned about a woman going back to her original husband, according to the Rabbanan, that is according to according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, if he divorced his wife and the woman entered nisuin with the second man, and after that he takes her back, she is forbidden to him. However, if she only entered the earlier stage of marital connection, we call erusin, that's intimacy, pre-canopy, then muteris, she's allowed to come back to her, the first husband is allowed to take her back. Of course, the second man would have to divorce her, it would be allowed, or either divorce her or die, but the first husband is allowed to take her back if all she entered was erusin with the second man. Mishum shenemar, the pasuk says, acharei asher hutam'o. This is from Dvarim Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. We see on the side, let's read the whole pasuk. It says, lo yuchal bailo horishon asher shilcho lo shuv lekachto. The first husband who divorced her cannot take her back. Liois lo leisha, to be together as man and wife. Acharei asher hutam'o. After she hutamo, that's a word, and we can't translate that word right now because that's pretty much the gist of this Gemara. But she was hutamo with the second man. Ki toyeva hilifnei Hashem, it's an abomination for an original husband to take her back. And by avoiding this, you won't sin upon the land that the Almighty gave us as an inheritance. So, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, the fact that the word hutama appears, that indicates that she had entered nisuin. Hutama then means niv'ala, actual intimacy. Only if there was actual intimacy with the second man who was marrying her, she can then, and only then, not go back to the first husband. We continue in the Gemara, v'chachomim omrim, achas zu v'achas zu, also in the case of erusin, asura, she cannot go back to the first husband. Well, if you're saying that even after the mere erusin stage of relationship with the second man, she is banned from going back to the first husband, elomani makayim acharei hutamah, so what am I going to do with the expression hutamah, which indicated niv'ala? The Braisa answers, the rabbis soita shenistara. Now, we dot underline the word shenistara. Mistra means she went into seclusion. So that the Torah, according to the Chachamim, is telling us by adding the words Acharei Asher Hu Tama, which is not relevant, according to the Chachamim, to the case of Machzir Gushaso. So what is it talking about? It's talking about a woman who was a married woman who went into seclusion with another man. So she is usher to her first or original husband. So what do we see from here? We see that the word hutama applies to the case of nistara. That's a suffix. Hence, at the beginning of this long question, we saw, why do you make a distinction between Saita Vadai versus Saita Safek? Even in the case of Safek, where there's doubt, the word Tuma appears. So, with regard to the Sukya then, what Rav tried to answer by making a distinction between Saita Vadai versus Saita Safek, we see that distinction doesn't have a basis. The Gemara responds, my nistara, the word nistara that we had not underlined just before, doesn't mean seclusion. It rather means nivala. It means actual intimacy. We call that a vadai. Oh, so since it's an act of intimacy on a definitive level, on a definite level, so then the word tuma is applicable. Why was the term nistara used? Nistara means simply seclusion. Answer, lishna ma'alya nokat. The Gemara was interested in using clean speech or euphemistic type speech. The Gemara asks, nivala, as far as the case of nivala, tuma behedya ksiv ba, finistara vihi nitma'a. Why then do I need the pasuk? If you want to talk about the definite sota as being prohibited, so I have another pasuk that deals with that. This pasuk of v'nistara v'hi nitma'a. Why do I need the pasuk of acharei asher hu tama'a that was mentioned before? In other words, we have at this point, after having said acharei asher hu tama'a is talking about a case of actual intimacy, that was Rav's answer before. So then I have redundancy. I have another pasuk that deals with actual intimacy, v'nistara v'hi nitma'a. That's a different pasuk. The Gemara answers, no, both are talking about definite intimacy. L'mekam alah belav. So as to establish that there is a violation of a negative command. In other words, in addition to v'nistara v'nitma, I have the pasuk of lo yuchal ba'al rishon, the pasuk from Dvarim chav dalet, pasuk dalet, to establish that there is a negative command being violated. The Gemara continues, for Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, who established the entire pasuk by machzir gushoso, the pasuk of Dvarim perek chav dalet, pasuk dalet, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur learned that as referring to machzir gushoso, one who returns, there's a negative command in taking back a wife who had married, had entered into full-fledged marriage with someone else. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says, lav besoita les lay. He doesn't have a negative command in the case of the sota, of a man who continues living with a wife who behaved immorally. So he doesn't, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have a lav. Vafilu zanoi nami, even if she actually entered, even if she had actual znus, actual intimacy. So that Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, when he looks at the pasuk in Dvarim chav dalet, pasuk dalet, he does not see that pasuk as talking about a married woman having relations with someone else, with another man. My time, why is it so clear to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur that the pasuk is not talking about that, but simply talking about the case of machzir gushasai? The answer is havaya v'ishus ksiv ba. In that pasuk, dvorim chav dalet, pasuk dalet, you have key words that indicate actual marital bond. That can only be in the case of a man who had divorced his wife, and she went ahead and married someone else, having nothing to do with the case of a married woman conducting herself immorally with another man. That, again, comes as a result of the presence of the words of Havaya and Ishus, or Ish. You see the word Ishus. These are words like the word Vihoya or Lihiyois. These kind of words are Havaya. These are words that indicate, for us, actual marital bond. Hence, Rabbi Yosef Ben-Hibber doesn't see in that pasuk any reference to the case of Sota, which doesn't involve a marital bond with the second man. That's simple. It's a simple case of immorality. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears, and on the side under our Nosei, Mivne heading, we have a bow tie featured, and the word Ba, which is in the bow tie, features, actually the bow tie features that word Ba, and later on we have again Bo'i, and we have a little Aleph and Beis bow tie on the side. You can skim down the page to see where the Beis is found. So this is here to highlight Shnei Rabbonim Shishoalim Mahadin Shel, two Rabbonim that are asking about what is the halacha in the case of Tzorosa Shel Machzir Grushoso Mishinises Legabi Ibum, the co-wife of a Machzir Grushoso Mishinises. What is her status? In other words, if you have a man who divorced his wife, now this man has, we'll call him Reuven, he has a brother Shimon, and Reuven divorced the woman, but he also had a co-wife. There was a second wife. So what is the din of someone who takes back his wife after she entered full-fledged matrimony with a second man? We want to know what's the status of the co-wife that she had in her original marriage vis-a-vis the Yavam. That means that the brother who had divorced the wife and taken her back, he had died leaving no children. We can now continue in the Gemara itself. After pointing out the topic that we're going to learn now, we also should note that we have a very long question. You'll also notice we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. The number 2 introduces an Ikar D'Amri, a second version. So all of this is part of a very long question, which is then followed by triangles, which we'll explain when we get there. Under our Mivne heading, we feature the diamond that you see with Roman numerals 1 and 2. Those are Shnei Lishonos Bashela, two versions as to the question. Before we actually learn the long question, we should point out that the topic of the question is essentially the points we were mentioning just above in the Tanaic source, where we featured Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur and the Chachomim. In that particular Gemara that we just did, we were really focusing on the issue of Sota. Here we deal with the actual case of Machzir Grushoso Mishinises. So we have a long question, note that, and that will be followed by a long answer, followed in turn by a long dechia. Bo mine Rav Yehuda Merav Sheshes, Hamachzir Grushoso Mishinises Umes Tzoroso Mahu. A man had divorced his wife, she married someone else, and the first husband took her back, then died leaving no children, but he did leave a co-wife. What is the din regarding this co-wife and Yibum? Aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur lo tibay aloch. Now this name should be familiar. We had him double underlined just a few lines up. According to him, there is no question. Kevan diyama Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur tuma b'machzir grushoso hu d'chsiva. Since Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur insisted that the word Tuma in the Pasuk of Dvarim Perech of Dalet Pasuk Dalet was dealing with the case of Machzir Grushoso, Tzorosa Kamosa. Now the word Tuma was the parallel word or common word between the case of Machzir Grushoso and the case of Arayas. And we know that in the case of Arayas, when an Erva falls to Yibum, so there is no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, and the same applies to the co-wife. Likewise, we will say in the case of the Machzir Gushasa, Rabbi Yosef Yom Kippur views that as we would view a case of Erva. And if you might try to argue to the contrary, because it says there's a limit, there's a limitation expression, which would one would think that that is restricted to the woman herself and not the co-wife. That's not so. We learn the limitation word he toevo v'ein boneho toyavim. The woman and her being returned by her husband is considered an abomination. Her children are not an abomination. In other words, her children are not viewed as illegitimate. Ha tsarasa toeva. However, the co-wife is considered a toeva, an abomination, in this sense that she would be excluded from yibum. So the question that Rav Yehuda is asking of Rav Sheshes is not a question within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, because Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur views this case of Machzir Gushasa Mishinises as a real type of erva. The question arises within the Shita of the Rabbanan. Now, two sides of the question. That's why you see an Aleph and then Oy Dilma a couple lines later, Beis. Do we say, Afagav Yom Rabbanan Tuma Besoitehu Dechsiv? Even though the Rabbanan, as we saw in our previous Sugya, learned the Pasuk in Vorim, Perikov Dalid Pasuk Dalid, and the word tuma therein as referring to the case of sota, nevertheless, ein mikro yotzi midei pshuto. The simple reading of the pasuk is in fact talking about a man who divorced his wife, she married someone else, and then he took her back. So that the term tuma is shayach, is relevant to the case of Machzir Gushoso and her co and the co-wife as well. Oy dilma, or do we say, Kevon diakir akir, once the Rabbanon uproot the pasuk from its simple meaning and ascribe tuma to the case of sota, so then tuma, which is associated with erva, is not shayach, is not associated anymore with machzir gushaso, and therefore, according to the chacham, according to the Rabbanon, the tzara would be subject to yibum. Iko diamri. Another version. Basically, very similar information, but just starting from a different vantage point. Another version of the question Rabbi Yehuda posed to Rav Sheshes. Aliba derabbanan lo tibay alach. Kevon dias akir is ayakir. As far as asking this question within the Rabbanan, I'm not going to ask the question with regard to Machzir Gushoso, because they said that the word tuma has no shaychus to the case, has no connection, relevance to the case of Machzir Gushasoi, to the man who had divorced his wife and taken her back. Ki tiboy aloch, alibo de Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur mai. The question is within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. So just to go over this point again, as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, it would appear certain that there would be Yibum with the Tzara. The question is within Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Two sides of the question. Hence you see Aleph, and then three lines later at the beginning of the line, O Dilma Beis. Afagav, the Omar of Yossi ben Kippur, Tumo v'machzir gushoso d'chsiva. Even though he has this very harsh approach to the machzir gushoso, as the word Tumo applies to that case, Mi'et Rachmona he. There is, however, a limitation or an exclusionary expression, he toeva v'yitzo, or also toeva, that only the woman herself that was divorced and married someone else is considered the abomination, but not the co-wife. Therefore, with regard to the co-wife, there is a yibum possibility. Oy dilma, or possibly the limitation expression does not come to exclude the co-wife. He toeva, v'ein boneo toyavim, hotzor also toeva. Maybe we say that the children produced from a taking back, a remarriage to the one that had been divorced and married to someone else, those children on the second round, when he remarries her, are not considered illegitimate. But the co-wife is considered an abomination, and there would be no yibum with her. So the question has been presented. What is the status of the co-wife of a machzik rishos mishinises? Omar Lay, Rav Sheshes, answers. And notice we have a triangle marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. You can see the triangle represents Chuvos, Hatzorah, Misyabemes. The direction taken is that there would be Yibum. And when you see an inverted triangle, that would be an attempt to say that the Tzorah does not do Yibum, but rather there is Chalitza. So let us continue. Omar Lei Rav Sheshes answers to Nisuha. Hoysa achas ksheira v'achas psula. There are two women that come from one Yavam. So you have Reuven and Shimon. They're two brothers. Reuven dies, leaving two wives. One is ksheira and one is psula. Now we can't explain these expressions yet. The Gemara itself involves itself with those words. But one is ksheira, means acceptable, and the other is unacceptable. If the surviving brother chooses to do chalitza, he should do chalitza with the psula, with the unacceptable one, and if he chooses to do yibum, he should do it with the acceptable one. My ksheira umay psula. What do these terms mean? Ilemo ksheira la'alma psula equals psula li'alma. If the words ksheira mean a woman who is kosher li'alma. Li'alma literally means to the outside. More specifically, it means a woman who is kosher to marry into the kuna, into the priesthood. The standards that we apply to women eligible to marry kohanim are, we'll say, higher or more exclusive standards. So the term ksheira, if you say that it's a reference to a woman who's kosher to marry a kohen, and psula would be a reference to a woman who's not fit to marry a kohen. Who is a woman that is considered ksheira li'alma? As we said, a woman who has proper family background and is acceptable to the kuna. Psula li'alma would mean a woman who's unacceptable to the kuna. For example, a woman who was once divorced or once received chalitza, she's unfit to the kuna. So if that's the pshat, if that's the explanation in this source, kivon diladidei chazya, since we're not talking necessarily about kehanim here, we're talking about Reuven died. Reuven had married two wives, one was a divorcee and the other was a single woman. As far as Shimon, Reuven's brother, is concerned, if he's not a kohen, what difference does it make to him? Kevon de ledidei chazio, since he is a Yisrael, so the both of the wives are fit to him. My nafka le mino. What difference would it make to him concerning her status vis-a-vis kohanim? So why would the source make such a distinction? Elo lav ksheira means ksheira le. If Reuven died leaving two wives and Shimon is the Yavam, Ksheira would have to mean Ksheira to him. That would be the Tzora. Psula would mean Psula Le. That would be a woman who had been divorced and he took her back unlawfully. Umayniu, and what is Psula, as we just said? Machzik Grushasa. So let's go over the case again with this new information. Reuven had two wives. One was Ksheira, regular wife. The other, Psula. It's because Reuven, who is now the deceased brother, he had divorced her. She married someone else, and eventually Reuven took her back unlawfully. Vikotani, and it says in the source, V'im hoya mi'abem, mi'abem lakshera. If Shimon chooses to take the evil path, he is mi'abem the kshera, the tzara, the co-wife. So when we asked our original question, this was Rav Yehuda asked of Rav Sheshes, a machzik rishos mishenise sumeis, what is the din of the tzara? The answer is, the tzara is allowed, one is allowed to do yibum with the tzara. The Gemara rejects loy. The triangled source that we try to use as a basis for answering the question is not talking about machzik rishasa. Li oilom kshera equals kshera li alma, psula equals psula li alma. That the terms kshera and psula in the source referred in fact to women who were kosher to the kahuna and posel to the kahuna. Uda ko amris, and you challenged that explanation before by saying kevan delidi de chazia. Since regarding Shimon, who was a Yisrael, both women are fit. My nafka le mino. What difference does it make to him which woman he would do yibum with and which woman he would do chalitza with? Why shouldn't he be able to do chalitza to the woman who is called kshera? We have an answer for that. Mishum de Rav Yosef. I'll tell you why. Shimon, even though he is a Yisrael, we are telling him to do chalitza to the psula lekuhuna lady, because of Rav Yosef's principle. The Yomar Rav Yosef, kan shana Rebbe. Based on this source, Rebbe teaches the following saying, and we'll take the saying and then apply it to actual halacha. Lo yishpoich odom me boroi v'achirim tzrichin lahem. First, we'll translate. If a person, let's say, has water, he has good drinking water, but doesn't need it, we say, don't spill out the water when other people can benefit from it. Likewise, kohanim are, as we said before, are more limited in the pool of women that are available for them in marriage. For example, divorced women are not available to kohanim. Women who received chalitza are also not available to kohanim. Kohanim shall not marry them. It would not be right, therefore, to do chalitza. If you have a choice, you have two women, one woman is fit to the kahuna and the other woman is not, it wouldn't be right for Shimon, although he is Yisrael, to offer the chalitza, to do the chalitza with the woman who is kosher. Reuven died leaving two women. One woman was a divorcee. He had married a woman who was a divorcee, and the other woman was a single woman that he had married. It wouldn't be right for Shimon, the surviving brother, to do chalitza to the single woman that his dead brother had married. But as you can see, with this explanation, we're not touching on the issue of Machzir Grushaso Mishanises and the din of Yibum with her tzora whatsoever. Toshma. So we go back to our original question and try to give an answer. The inverted triangle indicates we're going to try to show how the tzora would do chalitza and not do Yibum. Toshma. Hamachzir Grushaso Mishanises hi v'tzoroso choletzes. So right away, you see our case is addressed. And it says, we dashed on the line, the tzor does chalitza, no yibum. The source, though, that we just read doesn't make any sense. And in the brackets, the Gemara deals with the problem. And after the framed section, the Gemara then will reject this approach. The Gemara asks in the brackets, he vitzorasa sakadaitach, if a man dies leaving two wives, you don't do chalitza with both of the wives. You do chalitza with one, and the tzora is released thereby. Chalitza releases all of the wives. all of the widows to marry whomever they want. So why does the source say he vitzarasa? Elo emo, rather say oi, he oi tsarasa. But the point remains that the tsara, the co-wife of a masi grushosa mishinises, is subject only to chalitza, no yibum. The Gemara responds, v'lav terutzi kometartzis law. Didn't you have to straighten out this text as we just demonstrated? Teritzachi, so I suggest an alternative resolution of the text, and you'll see that a different result comes out. He choletzes. As far as chalitza is concerned, as far as the man, we said Reuven died leaving two wives. One was a regular wife, and the other was a machzi grushasa mishinises, a woman that he had once been married to, divorced, and then took her back. So if you do chalitza, as far as she, the woman he returned, only chalitza is an option with regard to her. However, if you choose to deal with the tzora, tzarasa, oi choletzes, o misyabemes. And here you can see what we've done. We've dashed, underlined the main point that with regard to the co-wife, yibum is a possibility. You can see that we have a new marking as we go on the side under the mivneh, the structural note. The house shape appears in two directions. Shnei l'shoinois b'ma hoyo shelos Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan raises a question. In fact, the question is the same topic as we were discussing till now with Machzi Grishoso, Mishanises, and the Tzora. Version 1 has the question asked regarding the Tzora, the co-wife. And the second version has the question regarding the Grusha herself. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba. Rabbi Yochan boy. Rabbi Chiyo tells us that Rabbi Yochanan asked, Hamachzi Grushasa Mishinises Tzarasa Mao. The same question as we've been dealing with till now. One who had divorced his wife and she entered Nisuin with another man, and then the first fellow took her back, remarried her. We've been speaking in shorthand along the way. The second man either had died or divorced her, and then the first man takes her back. But we point out that she had entered Nisuin with the second man, making her forbidden to be taken back by the first husband. What is the din when that first husband dies, leaving her and a co-wife and no children? What is the din regarding the co-wife? The Gemara will elaborate on the question after the bracketed section. We have a little start note. Within the brackets, there's a question on the question and a response. After the brackets, the Gemara reinstates the original question. The style of the second lashon will actually be very similar to this. Let's now go through the brackets. Omar le Reb Ami. Rabbi Ami asks Rabbi Chiya, v'tiboy loch hi gufa. Why don't you ask about the divorced woman herself that was taken back? So he answers, he gufa lo kame bayali. As far as the divorced woman herself, that isn't even a question. Diamrinon kal vachomer. As far as the din regarding what does the yavam do with regard to the divorced woman herself that his brother had divorced, she subsequently married someone else and then taken her back. There's no. It's a non-starter. Why? But mutar law neesra. Her original husband, she had become usher to that which was once allowed. She was married. We're talking about a woman who had been divorced from her first husband. She was allowed him when they initially got married. That was mutar law. But then neesra became forbidden. Be Osir law lo kol shekein. Osir law is the yavam, her yavam, the brother-in-law, once she was married to the first husband, the brother-in-law was also right at the get-go. Ki kame bayali tsarasamai. The question still regards the tsar, the co-wife of that masigushasa mishenises. And what's the question? Mi olim, olim means strong enough. Mi olim kavachomer lemitchi tsara olo. Does the kavachomer that we just used to show how forbidden the masir grushaso is to the yavam, is that strong enough to cast aside the co-wife as well, or not? Or maybe the kavachomer logic doesn't extend to the co-wife as well. That's the question. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni Hachi. Now Rav Nachman has a different version. Omer Rav Chiya bar Abba, Boi Rav Yochanan. The same setup where Rav Chiya bar Abba presents Rav Yochanan as asking a question. Hamachzik Rishoso Mishaniseis Mahu. One who divorced his wife and she married someone else, and that someone else divorced her or died, and the first husband takes her back. What is the din regarding the yavam? Now, after the brackets, the question continues. And it says, Mi olim kavachomer b'moki mitzvah lo. Remember, we had a kavachomer regarding how forbidden she ought to be to the yavam. That's very nice that you have a kavachomer, but does that stand up in the face of the mitzvah to marry one's brother's widow, even though she had become usher to her husband? But once the husband dies, she is his widow, for better or for worse, and there's yibum to be done, possibly. So is yibum to be done with her or not? We go through now the Gemara with the brackets. Omalei Rabbi Ami, v'tiboy loch tsarasa. Rabbi Ami asks, why don't you ask about the co-wife of the Machzik Rishaso? So he says, Sarasa lo kamei bayali. As far as the tsar is concerned, there's no question that yibum is an option. The lo olim kavachomer lemitchi tsara. The kavachomer, which would have, let's say, excluded the actual divorcee, isn't strong enough to extend and reject the co-wife from yibum as well. My question is focused on the divorced woman herself. Do we apply the kavachomer that we had just a few lines above, if you recall, where it said b'mutter lo ne'esra, where she had become usher to someone who was once mutter, so she certainly will be usher to the yavam. That was kavachomer logic. On the other hand, the yavam, the surviving brother, is looking at his brother's widow. He left, and the brother left no children. There's a mitzvah. So does the mitzvah supersede the kavachomer logic or not? The Gemara continues at the top of Yud Beis, Omen Aleph, Omar Lay. So he answers, Tanisuha. Now you'll notice we have a new marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. We have a volcano shape or trapezoid that appears in two different directions. So these are tshuvos la-she'ela. These are responses to the question, b'shnei kivunim, in two different directions. Yesh lahair demivneh ha-gemara kan doima lemivneh be'emtza amud hakodem. The structure of the Gemara here is going to parallel the structure of the Gemara that we had in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where the triangles appeared in two different directions. So if you are comfortable with the Gemara there, this is essentially a repeat. So let's just review. We're dealing with the issue of a question that was posed by Rav Yochanan regarding the Machzik Rishoso Mishenises. What is the din of the woman or the tsara with regard to yibum? Tenisuha hoiso achas kshera v'achas psula. A man, Reuven, was married to two women. One was described as kshera, the other described as psula. He dies leaving no children. Shimon, his brother, survives. Im hoya choletz, choletz l'psuf. Shimon opts for chalitza. He should do chalitza with the psula. V'im hoya miyabem. And if he chooses to do yibum, miyabem l'ksheira. My ksheira u'my psula. What do these terms mean? So, in the brackets, we could skip the brackets for a moment, and you'll see what the terms actually mean at this point. Ksheira is ksheira le, and psula is psula le, umayniu, and what does it mean by psula? Machzir grushaso. The case of machzir grushaso that we've been dealing with. V'katonim hoyim yabim yabim ksheira. And it says that if you're going to do yibum, you're going to do yibum only with the, you'll do yibum with the ksheira, with the tzora. So if the question was, machzir grushaso, mishanises, what is the din of the tzora? Here you have an answer to what is the din with regard to the tzara. Let's go over the Gemara again, but this time with the brackets. Third line from the top. My ksheira, my psula. Ruvain died, leaving two wives. One described as ksheira, one described as psula. What do those mean? What do those words mean? I lemo ksheira, ksheira li alma, psula, psula li alma. If ksheira means, ksheira li alma means, as we said before, to the kahuna. And psula means psula la'alma, again, likahuna. However, kivan diladidei chazia, since to Shimon, who is a Yisrael, even the psula is fit. If the psula is psula to the kahuna, let's say she's a divorcee. But Shimon can marry a divorcee, he's a Yisrael. Mai nafka le mina, what difference would it make which one he does the chalitza with? Elolav ksheira is ksheira le. We're talking about the tzora, and psu. That's, she's considered the ksheira, the co-wife, and the psula. It's psule. She'd be puzzle to him. Umay nihu. What's the psul? What's the disqualification? Machzir grushaso. It's a case where the deceased brother, Reuven, had divorced his wife and she married someone else, and Reuven then, after that someone else died or divorced her, took her back. V'katani im hoya miyabe miyabe m'ksheira. And it says that if Shimon, the surviving brother, chooses to do yibum, he shall do yibum with the tzara. So we see the tzara, the co-wife of a machzir grushaso mishanises, is fit for Yibum, and that would answer the question that we saw Rabbi Yochanan asking on Omid Aleph. Loi. The Gemara says no. Ksheira is le'alma. Psula is le'alma. True that Shimon is a Yisrael, and the term Ksheira and Psula are references to the women and their fitness to kahuna. Udukamris, and you would ask then kevan lidei chazia my nafka leminoa. Since to Shimon both are fit, what difference does it make with whom he does the chalitza or the yibum? It makes a difference. Mishum de Rav Yosef, because of Rav Yosef's teaching, the Yom Rav Yosef kan shona Rebbe. Based on this Tanaic source, Rebbe taught a principle. Lo yishpech odem meibor v'achem tzrichim lehem. A person should not spill out well water that he doesn't need when others do need it. So that Shimon, if he is choosing to do chalitza, he should not do chalitza with the co-wife, with the kosher woman, kosher to the kahuna, because if he does that, by Shimon's doing chalitza with her, he renders her unfit to the realm, the world of Kohanim. With this in mind, though, we haven't, by defining psula as being psula to the kuna, we're not describing machzir grushaso mishanises whatsoever in this source. Therefore, the question remains toshma. So let us try to conclude it from the following: hamachzir grushaso mishanises he v'tzoraso chiletzes. So here you have the very case spelled out, and we dashed underline. Chalitza is done with the tzara. It means that the tzara is not fit for yibum. We question, though, the language of this source. He vitzorasa salkadaitoch. Why would the surviving brother do chalitza to both women? Elo ema oi he oi tzorasa. Rather, chalitza when done is done either with the masi grushasa herself or with the co-wife. But that would answer the question, namely the tzara of the masi grushasa mishinises is forbidden for yibum. All you have, all you do is chalitza. However, the Gemara feels this is not conclusive. The lab terutzi kometarzis law. Did we, in order to come to your conclusion, did you not have to restate the original source? Terutzachi. So once you're into restating the source, you can restate it this way. He chaletzes. If Shimon decides to take the chalitza route, or decides to deal with the Masi Grushasa Mishanises, with the divorced woman that was taken back, then only Chalitza is an option. However, Tzorasa, with regard to the Tzora, if Shimon should decide to deal with the Tzora, Ocholetzis Omisyabemis, Yibum is a possibility with regard to the Tzora of the Masi Grushasa Mishanises. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.